Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen, two grown men,
sickies,
couple sickies.
The Barry White episode makes your the sickness is affecting your vocal cords
down with the sickness, bro. I am. I'm draining Gatorade like it's my full-time job.
Yeah. I've been drinking tea, and I just started some OJ right here. Drinking that down, trying to just flush this thing. So
I popped some random pills that one of my elders gave me. I don't know what they are, but I'm like, I'll try anything at this point. He's like, dude, this stuff will get you better by tomorrow. I'm like, give it to me. I don't care.
Were they in an unmarked prescription?
He handed them to me in a Ziploc bag.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Dude, this is worse. Even worse.
Yeah. It was a Ziploc bag full of pills. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I am, good gracious, not feeling good.
Yeah. I woke up and I was. And
we soldier on.
We do.
It's what we do.
We do soldier on.
We do it for the people.
Yeah. We do it for the people.
We do.
Nastia, my wife, got me a ton of stuff from the store.
Yeah.
So she got me like two things of like OJ.
So here's a question, because my wife she did the exact same thing for me. She just got back to the store.
Yeah.
I got home from work and she's like, man, let me go to the store for you. Let me get you what you want. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to pass up a chance to be babied a little. Like, I'll take you up on that. What's your go-to, like, I'm sick, this is what I want from the store? Like, what is that for you?
Oh, man.
Because I've got some staples that she knows this is what he's going
to
want.
My wife went coconuts because she went to the bougie store, a.k.a. Whole Foods.
Oh, bro. She wants you better now.
Yeah, she wants that organicness, you know, So I honestly, if it's a Safeway day, and this is my Safeway, everybody knows where Safeway's at, right?
Oh yeah.
I go there. I try to get throat coat tea.
Okay.
I try to get, and then I try to get some Alka-Seltzer cold and flus.
Okay.
And I try and down those things.
Yeah.
Especially if it's, right now my congestion is like, it's like not like this morning it sucked because I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And then it progressively got a little bit better throughout the day. But
that's been me the past, like, no joke, the past like 4 days. Like, yeah, I can't breathe that night. Dude, yeah. I'm up every half hour.
Yeah, that's rough. I will get a Vicks VapoRub as well, too. Okay. I put that like right in the kind of like bot, like right where your neck and your chest, kind of your clavicle is at, and just rub it like right here. Gosh, who else? I heard a crazy one the other day. It was something like I think it was like my wife's stepmom said to like make mashed potatoes and put like Vicks, some sort of Vicks vapor rub dip in it and like eat it. And I'm like, oh no.
I'm terrible. I can't. No, that's too far.
They'd be like, wait, we're going to eat Vaseline pills? Like, what? No, I'm not doing that.
No.
So usually it is Alka-Seltzer cold and flus. I will down those suckers, two dissolvable tablets in like a thing of like 5 to 6 ounces of water. Down those. You don't take more than like a couple, two tablets, you know, a day.
Right.
Because you don't want to have liver damage. but now my wife got bougie on me today.
What's that?
She got me really fancy orange juice.
Okay.
Like
now you're talking
100% organic stuff.
See, and then like, she got the stuff I'm talking about.
She got fancy orange juice that's orange and elderberry.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And then
so she just spent your mortgage then, is what you're saying. Like she went to Whole Foods and spent your mortgage.
What usually it takes for us to get groceries on 1 week took us a day.
Yeah.
On this stuff. And let's see, she got me these fancy honey like lozenges from like New Zealand or something like that. Apparently like this honey is like gold.
Okay.
Like rebounds you.
You're making my go-tos seem like
this
this
is the bougiest. Okay. This is the bougiest of bougiest I'm talking like, about for cold rebounds.
I asked for Gatorade and Goldfish. Like that's what I asked for. I want me some Gatorade. And if they got those Goldfish crackers, man, that's hit the spot now. Gosh. You're all like, you got me that elderberries, this vapor rub, and you put this. No, I want Goldfish, son. I want you to treat me like I'm 12.
I want soup. I want chicken noodle soup. There usually you go. I'll go with that. And we actually made soup.
Yeah.
So like we did homemade kind of style where you basically just cook the chicken in like boiling water for like an hour and a half.
Right.
Debone it. I deboned it while my son was taking a nap. And then we just dumped like this packet where it's like tortellini and everything's like dry freeze and you just throw it in there and just regenerates and rehydrates from there. So
there you go.
But yeah,
there you go. Well, Jack, how was your Lord's Day?
Lord's Day was good. We talked about Acts chapter 2 and the habits of worship and community that are happening towards the end of that chapter. You know, it's famous in that it's like, and they dedicated themselves to the breaking of bread, to the apostles' teaching. Like it talks about those rhythms in the early church, right?
Yeah.
So we were primarily talking about that and how I really appreciated one of my pastors who was preaching on the fact that like you need the local church, the ways and means that your habits are going to change. It's not you in private in your closet praying. It is going to change through community, through the local church. That's how your habits are going to change. So I was really thankful that he said that because most of our modern day would not say that. Most churches probably wouldn't say that either.
We're in a very individualistic society.
Yeah.
Right.
We're in a very transactional society.
Yeah. That's a good word for it too. Transactional. I like that.
We're in a very consumeristic society as well, too. So it's like, hey, how can I get most for what I'm doing here? And that's where you get. I mean, there's a lot of questioning on is our mega churches starting to sizzle out and our like kind of smaller kind of 100 or less congregations starting to become the new norm. I mean, that's always been the case for like the Southern Baptist Convention. Most of the churches are like 100 members or less of what I know of, to be quite honest. But I think it's just because the mega churches have like they're dedicated to the seeker sensitive movement and they're dedicated to putting money in, putting your name out on social media and trying to get the clicks and the follows and everything like that.
Yeah.
Versus good old fashioned organic evangelism and getting people into the local church. So But yeah, we talked about that, and we talked about how your local Lord's Day service, like all of that is worship. Most people in America think worship is just singing and songs.
Right. Right.
But you're incorporating like at least a half a dozen aspects of worship in a Lord's Day service. Mm-hmm. Prayer, call and response, pastoral prayers.
Right.
The Lord's Supper.
Yep.
Yeah. Preaching.
Yeah, the entire point of the Lord's Day is worship.
Yeah.
And I don't know when this would be an interesting, like, I'd love to talk to like a maybe like an American church historian or something like that, to like when, at what point in history did we begin to use the term worship to mean primarily singing, right? Because we hire worship pastors, right? And whenever you hear that, it's like, oh, he's the pastor over music, right? He's the one that's leading music, right? And I'd be super curious. I wonder if any of our listeners know, because it's actually something that I don't know, is when did that trend start where we viewed and used that term primarily for music? Because, yeah, like the entire, like you just said, the entire Lord's Day is worship.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of why we're there. Mm-hmm. It's to worship Christ, right? And confess the things that he has done through prayer, preaching, singing, and the sacraments, right? And the word being read. So, yeah, that's interesting. It's always encouraging when I hear churches like making that point to drive that home, because it's not something that a lot of American churches do today.
No.
Yeah.
If anything, they would double down and use the Lord's Day service for mostly a music concert. It mm-hmm. feels like mm-hmm. that's about it.
Yeah. 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 It's
just
true.
Is. So.
It's really interesting that that's where you guys were at. So I had a sabbatical week this week, which was really, really nice. Spent the evenings just with my wife and just getting caught up on some projects, but just kind of having a restful week, right? And I was able to visit another local church in the area where we have some really close friends that we've known for years. And the pastor there, his name is Derek, he was preaching out of Ephesians chapter 3, talking about the foundation and purpose of the church. And it was very much the same thing that you just talked about. It's always cool when that happens, right?
Yeah.
But
he
was talking about how, you know, the foundation of the church is the gospel, and the purpose of the church is the gospel.
Yeah.
That our foundation is what drives our mission, right? He did an excellent job. It was super encouraging. And I was struck as I was sitting there, because I don't often have the chance to visit other churches for the Lord's Day, right? Because I'm an elder at mine, and you know, we've got stuff to do. And I prefer it that way. I prefer my church, right? Mm-hmm. I prefer to be with my people. That's where I love to be. But I am reminded when the Lord gives me opportunity to visit other local bodies that we are one foxhole in an entire battlefield. Yeah. That is true. Fighting the good fight and preaching the gospel and seeing the different ways that churches engage with the Lord's Day, the different ways that they'll engage with the elements of worship, right? Mm-hmm. And seeing the fellowship of those saints, right? And the closeness that they have reminds me of the closeness that I have with mine. It's so encouraging. It's so encouraging to see that and to experience that. And it does really remind you of the unity that we have in the gospel, in Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that I think we give a lot of lip service to, but I often don't consider the depth of that truth, that we are united across the board to men and women all over the world through the gospel of Christ. And that unity we have is far, far and beyond the strongest bond that exists this side of heaven.
Yeah.
Like it's always so encouraging to see and to be reminded of. I thoroughly enjoyed this Lord's Day, and we took communion, and I got to admit, their wine is better than ours. We got to do something. We got to do something about our wine.
Our wine.
I was sitting there like, you know, you start to get like super analytical, right? And you're like, okay, let's see how their bread is. Let's see how their wine is. Yeah, I like theirs better. I have to bring it up at another meeting. Like, guys, we got to up our game. I don't know what we're using, but they're using some sort of, like, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know. We got to get out of the box wine or something.
They going all out for box.
Yeah, dude, all out for the Lord's Day,
two
baby.
Buck check at Trader Joe's, bro. That's a right. Mainstay,
I got that box wine in the back. Yeah, like, seriously. It's been there for years. It's vinegar. Oh man. Yeah, but no, it was really good. It was really good. Lord's Day, very encouraging, and something that's just a reminder that I forget that I need at times. You know what I'm saying? Just because it's and it was a joy to visit. So that kind of leads into a topic that I have been wanting to talk about. It was actually a listener suggested topic about what do we do when we are traveling?
Oh yeah.
Or for work or vacation, right? Or we have a job that restricts our ability to attend the Lord's Day service. What do we do in those times of life with the local church? Right? How should we interact with those things? It was actually something that kind of got brought up also in our Patreon chat, which I think it was Right Worship. I think one of our patrons was talking about it there too. But it's an interesting question, right? What do you do when you're on vacation? What do you do when you're traveling for work? Right? What should the kind of the method or the heart motive be when thinking about your attendance with the local church, right? So big topic and a lot of different facets there, but I want to throw it over to you first.
Yeah.
See some preliminary thoughts, because I've definitely got some thoughts and want to try to get through them concisely, because my brain is absolute oatmeal right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, to be quite honest, try and do your best to make it to a Lord's Day service. So I think the last time I traveled on a Lord's Day, it was this time last year, maybe. And so it was pretty easy because I was going to Montana and I'm like, I wonder if we're not in a denomination, we're in a church planning network. And so that church planning network has churches in Montana, and then actually, that church is a part of our Northwest Region Church, technically, along with another church from Oregon, and then two churches in Washington State. And so, so I went and I talked to, you know, my pastors about it, and they're like, yeah, you know, this is the one of the pastor's names. You can kind of link up with him, stuff like that. So. I landed in Bozeman, Montana from Seattle, and I was able to rent a car and make it to Lord's Day service. I think I was maybe like 5 or 10 minutes late, something like that. Wasn't too big of a deal. Came in. Gosh, what were they talking about? I think most of the kids were coming back from winter break.
Okay.
And so I think it was talking about something in regards to fellowship. I know it was a sermon in regards to fellowship or something out of 1 Corinthians. I know that for sure. Yeah. Something along those lines.
Sure.
So talked with a lot of people, after service, talked to one of their pastors as well too, got to have some good fellowship time there, and then had to drive up to Great Falls, which is like a couple hours from Bozeman. So I don't know. I would say try and do your best.
Yeah.
Like, by all means, like, I think even traveling and even going to somewhere new, like, you'd be surprised at how much exhortation and encouragement you get from going to another church of believers you might not know, and you still have some unity in common there.
Sure.
So I'd say do your best as far as work goes. Vacation, it's kind of weird because that all depends on where you're at. And what you're doing, I guess. If you're in the vicinity of local churches, try your best. Yeah. But yet again, it just depends so much on what you're doing. Like, I couldn't go to a Lord's Day service in Cancun, mainly because I don't know any churches that speak English sure. and meet near like the area that we were in. Right. So that's a very different story. Then maybe if you're like camping out in the middle of nowhere and yeah. you're still not close to a local church.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that like don't. I would say try and do your best to make every Lord's Day count, to try and go to a Lord's Day service. But yet also don't beat yourself up or think that you're a failure just because you. So it's like a little bit of an in between. You know, don't make it legalistic, but also make sure that you're trying to do your best, because you know that the Lord's Day is primarily for not only like what we talked about, the worship of God, but like the gathering of God's people in order that they'd be gathered together to know who the visible church is and to worship God that way.
Right.
So you're identifying yourself with a people and you're also going in there to worship God, to be selfless in that way, but also to somewhat be, I wouldn't say selfish, I would say more familial.
Sure.
For the sake of like your spiritual needs. And your spiritual needs are you need to gather with God's people in person. Yeah. So we can't just keep going on this. One of my pastors actually made this interesting remark. Talked about the Gnosticism of our day, it seems like, is that we don't like in-person stuff. So Gnosticism, like the exaltation of spiritual things, the demonization of your body, we like more of the digital community more than we do of the actual physical community. Mm-hmm. There's like this digital Gnosticism going on. So he's commenting on that. Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting that he would remark about that.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But it definitely is the case. Like people, like literally, I don't know of many people that are doing it now, but people were like going in like that weird metaverse space and creating like
virtual, metaverse church. I remember
virtual
that.
Churches. And it's like, I don't know how on earth that's going to fly. So yeah, that is super weird. And that is a very Gnostic, digital Gnostic way of looking at it versus what we're commended to do, which is gather together as God's people and worship the Lord together. So,
yeah,
I would go with that. Don't try and make it legalistic, but do try your best.
Right. You know? Yeah. So. Yeah. I think with a lot. Yeah, I agree 100%. I think with a lot of these, you know, you have. It is a question of the heart of the law versus the letter of it, right? Yeah. So, and especially when it comes to Lord's Day stuff, you're going to have a spectrum of Sabbatarianism, right? Of adherence to what do we do on the Lord's Day, right? Now, Jack and I are of the conviction that the Lord's Day, right, is set aside for the worship of God and the fellowship of God's people. That's our conviction, okay? Now, you're going to have some people that share that conviction, especially within confessional reformed circles that have a much more strict view and understanding of that than I would or perhaps Jack would, right? Yeah. Case in point, you have some very faithful Christians that are, you know, again, like I said, very faithful Christians that see that as meaning, okay, the Lord's Day is the day that we're commanded to rest. So, we're not going to go, you know, engage in these certain activities on the Lord's Day, right? Mm-hmm. To which I would say, if that is your conviction, and that conviction is born out of scripture and not tradition, then I support you in that, right? You'll have others, again, within the confessional reformed circles that would say, I think the options for what the Lord's Day looks like, obviously after the primary worship of God by the gathering together of God's saints is accomplished, that can be a little broader, right? So if I want to fellowship with my brothers and sisters and by, you know, going and, you know, play a round of golf or watch a football game together or something like that, I believe that in my conviction that scripture makes allowances for that, right? The purpose is, again, the primary intention of the Lord's Day is the worship of God through the gathering of God's people. And then I believe the fellowship of God's people, right? So my encouragement to individuals is spend your Lord's Day with God's people, mm-hmm. first and primary at church, worshiping God. But then if you can, and if you're able, be with God's people, gather in each other's homes, go out to lunch, go do enjoyable things that bring you rest and bring you enjoyment, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we engage with the Sabbath primarily by worshiping God and by resting. And rest looks different for a lot of people, right? Rest can, you know, for one person can look to another person like work, but it's not, right? For one person, maybe, you know, woodworking in their garage is a very tedious thing and they get frustrated. It's not restful. For another person, that is the way they rest and it brings enjoyment because it's a gift that God's given them. Awesome. Fantastic. Right. Whatever that looks like, as long as the primary motivation is the worship of God, bringing him glory. And as I encourage, the best case scenario is with God's people in that. Right. So all of that being said, I think that it's important to distinguish, again, kind of between work and vacation. Right. Because vacations, it's usually one-offs. Right. I am not going to sit here and say that every vacation I have been on, I have sought out a local church for the Lord's Day. Mm-hmm. I haven't, right? It's not something that I have done every single time, right? If it's something that is there and it's convenient and I know that, like, oh, I'm passing through here and I've got some friends here, then yeah, that's completely fine, right? I believe that you can still have the motive and the overarching mentality of that the local church is central and it is important. Without being in service every single Sunday of the year. Okay. Yeah. Again, there'll be some that hear that and disagree and call into question my loyalty and love for the local church. I get it. I would disagree with you. I think that there's grace there, right? That we should be having toward one another.
Yeah.
Again, I believe there is a difference between not attending a Sunday here and there for specific reasons,
yeah,
versus having a mentality of lackadaisicalness or indifference toward God's people and the Lord's Day. Those are two very different things,
yeah,
right?
Very much so.
So that distinction has to be made, right? And that's why I do not bring the law hammer down on people when I hear they were on vacation, you know, and they didn't seek out a church for the Lord's Day, right? Because I don't call into question their love for the local church because of that. And I think it'd be wrong for us to do that.
Yeah. Right? And even in certain other cases, like I remember I had to go back east. This is when my wife and I, I'm trying to remember when this happened. I think it was 2021. My grandmother passed away and the funeral was going to be in Cleveland.
Yep.
And so we went. I think the funeral was on a Saturday and then we were still in Cleveland until like, I think Monday. Yeah. Monday and Sunday. Like I looked around, some websites of some churches within the area, which my aunt and uncle live in Cleveland. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'm not really getting a good feel for this.
Yeah. Sure.
So part of it too is like, does it make sense for you? And this is where our Baptist roots come in, like your liberty of the conscience, right?
Correct. Yep.
Do you think that going to that, like if you find a church, will your conscience permit you to go to that church, but knowing that some weird and wild stuff could get said on a Sunday morning?
Sure. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just it goes with that too. So it's like, you know, is it better for me to try and go in and look at churches? And then I think the biggest thing on my radar was like for churches in the area that I could see around my aunt and uncle's area, it was just, it did not fit kind of what my wife and I were kind of looking for.
Sure.
More like traditional Protestant. kind of liturgy. Trying to look for that. And we just kept in like these churches that were, I don't know, a little bit too charismatic for me. Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't know if this would be good to go there. So I think liberty of the conscience comes into play with that too, especially in your decision making on, and especially in those cases too, where, you know, it's like, you want to be with your family. Do you think that's, do you think going away from your family for a Lord's Day because of a passing of a family member in that area is wise or not?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, you know what? I'd rather hang out with my cousins and my aunt, my uncle and my wife and watch the Browns go down in misery than, than maybe like go to a Lord's Day Lord's Day service that gets really weird, really quick.
Really weird,
and
really
it's
quick.
Like, we need to go now.
Yeah. And look again, like if that was the mentality every Sunday, then this is a different conversation. Right.
Absolutely.
And that's the distinction that I really want to make, is that, yes, the liberty of conscience comes into play here. Right. But it is not that argument of the liberty of conscience does not negate the command that we have in Scripture to, I believe, make the local church primary. Right. Yes. Especially on the Lord's Day. Right.
Yeah.
So let's bring that into the context of work. You have a job that requires you to travel a lot. And a lot of that traveling is on the Lord's Day. We got a couple options, right? You can continue with that, right? And try to find local churches where your travel is, right? Or you can just kind of throw your hands up in the air and be like, well, like I'm traveling, right? So it's going to be really hard to do that, right? So my advice there would be twofold. One, I'd want more information, right? I think as pastors, as Christians, and especially like in counseling, I don't make judgment calls until I hear the whole situation. It's unwise to do that, right?
Yeah.
So I want to know frequency. Like when you know, when this individual says, you know, I'm traveling a lot for Lord's Day, well, what does that mean? Like 2 Sundays out of the year, 3 Sundays out of the year, are you getting into double digits like out of the year? Like what does that look like, right? Because my advice is going to change depending on the situation, right? Mm-hmm. I would say this. If you're traveling enough to where you're feeling it, and I think hopefully you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Where you feel the absence. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is, I'm away from my church a lot. I would seek the wisdom of your pastors and those around you and ask yourself some hard questions, right? Because if it's a 1 or 2 time out of the year, right, 3 time out of the year, and you're like, yeah, it's this, I have to travel quarterly and it's this quarterly business trip. I understand. I get that. You got to make a living. You got to provide for your family, and we go through seasons where that's where the Lord has us, right? And we have grace in those situations, absolutely. Again, you can't, I think, just bring the law down at a hammer and say, well, if you missed Lord's Day for work 1 time this year, then you're anathema. I don't think that's true, and I don't think that would be the correct response, right?
Yeah.
But if you're finding that it's becoming pattern, and it's becoming habit, and perhaps you're finding that being absent from the Lord's Day and being absent from the Lord's people is getting easier every time, right? Like, it used to sting. I used to have a longing, and it's not as bad now, you know? I would humbly suggest to you that is cause for some conversations.
Yeah.
And cause for alarm. Because when we are absent, I was talking to Lauren about this on our way back from visiting this church. We were talking about how awesome it was to see our old friends, how encouraging the sermon was, how much we loved it. And we both almost at the exact same time looked at each other and said, but boy, I miss our people.
Yeah.
So immediately we got on the phone. Excuse me. We got on the phone with a couple from our church and said, hey, you want to get together? Like, can we hang out? Then we hung out with people from our church for the rest of the day, right? Because we missed them and we felt the absence, right? So this is where the heart of the law comes in over the letter of it, I believe, right? Because the letter of the law is just you're just checking boxes. You're just fulfilling a duty.
Yeah.
The heart of it gets to the motives. Why is it important? Why should you be there? Why does it hurt when you aren't there, right? How should you be going about making these decisions and making the local church primary, right? That would be my advice, is if you're finding that it's becoming pattern and habit and it's becoming easier and easier to not be there on the Lord's Day, I would say pump the brakes. Maybe have some conversations and maybe some hard decisions, right? But again, there are times and seasons where the Lord has us in really, really busy stages of life, and we can't commit to the local church the way that we want to. I understand that, and that's a real thing. But don't let that become the norm.
Yeah.
Don't let that become habit. Don't let that become something that you just throw your hands up and be like, well, it is what it is. This is just how life is, right?
Yeah.
Don't be satisfied with a life that requires you to be absent from God's people. Don't let that be a rut that you just are content to sit in. If you find yourself in it and maybe you're in a position, okay, all right, I totally understand that. Let's work and make moves and strive to change the circumstance, right? Not the conviction.
Yeah. Yeah, another way too that you could remedy this. And I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking primarily in blue collar terms. So I know.
I love it.
In our company. Yeah. There's some projects that we have. I know of one project in particular. It's in like North Carolina. And we have to fly guys out for them to be there on the job site for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
So hypothetically speaking, if I'm one of those HVAC refrigeration techs that has to go out to that job, right? How can I talk to my local pastors and say, hey, do we have local denominations or networks that we're a part of where I can be a part of the Lord's Day service and be committed? Because here's the thing. I would say that a lot of people, they want to be committed to their membership at their local church.
Yeah.
But if it's a way and means that it interferes with their, you know, with trying to, you know, make a living and provide for your family. Okay. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's like, how can you be accountable? I think that's another big thing too.
That's a big one.
Is like, if you are seeking accountability and if you are seeking, hey, I want to, if there's a church, a part of our network or a part of our denomination out in North Carolina that I can go to, that we can talk about stuff about them with, that'd be most beneficial. So something along those lines too, if you know you're going to be in a city.
Yeah.
Or those cities.
Show some intentionality.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, take the initiative. If you know I'm going to be gone for this day. If you know that in advance, sweet. Like, plan your trip. Try to, you know, if you're able and it works with the schedule and you're not, you know, having to catch a flight or something, like, I get that. But, you know, find a local church where you can experience that joy of being with God's people. And like, you know, experience that. That would be really, really
I did that primarily when I went to Bozeman, because I'm like, okay, I could fly into any city I want to in Montana.
Right.
What's the wisest place to go to first?
Show me where the church is, baby.
And well, one, it's pretty convenient because the most populous airport is in Bozeman or just outside Bozeman. And then one of our churches in our church network is right there too. And so I just scheduled a flight so it would land and I would get there a little bit earlier so I could do my check-ins and then go drive to that Lord's Day service and worship with the people there. So it's stuff like that and intentionality.
Yep. It's intentionality. You can. Absolutely. It's having intentionality and it's having a heart motive that is centered on what is right and what is true. Right.
Yeah.
We have grace in circumstantial outliers. Mm-hmm. Right. But when it becomes norm, it becomes the kind of normative practice. That's when the conversation needs, I think, to become a little bit more intentional, a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
Because we do want the Lord's Day and the gathering of God's people to be primary, right? Mm-hmm. So talk to your pastors about that. Talk to people that you trust about that. And again, seek to change the circumstance, not the conviction.
Yeah.
Right? That's something that I would very much encourage. And if you're in leadership, encourage your people in that too, right? Because you're going to run into this. You're going to run into people that are just like, oh, I want to be at the church, but I've got this and I've got this, right? And it takes wisdom to sort through, okay, what is a real situational thing that they're dealing with versus what is a lackadaisical heart?
Yeah.
And that takes time.
Yeah.
And that takes intentionality. But that is important to decipher. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of lackadaisicalness will couch itself in convenient excuses.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I've got this. I had this. I had this. And it's like, well, all of that could have been remedied with some intentionality, some forethought that you are fine with implementing in other aspects of your life. But when it comes to the Lord's Day, somehow you turn into a little forget-me-not. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like that. And that's the – we've all experienced that. Yeah. Right? So – like I said, it takes intentionality and shepherding to lead someone through that. But again, for those everyday church members, right, like us, it's what is the motive of your heart? What is the desire, and how are you making that primary? Right, we don't come down with the hammer of the law. We get it. Life can get busy. We can't make every single one, but I want that motive to be there, and I want that desire to be there, and I want that to be primary. So
yeah,
that would be my encouragement. Definitely a lot longer conversation, but I say we pack it up,
Josh,
there because I am.
I say, okay, here's the thing about the cigar thing.
Yes.
That I think we can read.
I know we're still trying to figure this out, aren't we?
I would just say, after every episode coming forth, what are you liking? What's the latest cigar that you smoked that you liked?
I like that.
Because there's times throughout my week that I'll have that, or that there's a recent occurrence where it was a good cigar that I really liked. So
okay.
I'm going to ask you first, what's the cigar that you recently smoked that you really like?
Okay. I smoked this a Lord's Day afternoon.
Yeah.
It is a Maduro Lancero by
El Mago
Cigars.
Dude, you are on that brand, man.
It is so tasty. So delicious, dude. The floral, like, it's like, oh, dude, it's hard to explain. Because with Connecticut's, you often get very light smoke, not a lot of flavor, right? With some Maduros, it can tend to be like flavor punch, right? Mm-hmm. These El Mago Cigars, he has such a way of infusing such an, just like, unique flavors that when you smoke it, you're like, man, that is not a flavor profile I'm used to in a Lancero, and specifically a Lancero Maduro. It's so good. El Mago Cigars, if you have a chance, order them, ask your brick and mortar for them. They're delicious. They're fantastic. And they're active on social media. Every time I post one, They're always commenting and liking. I like that. That's what you get, man, in the boutique small brands. You get the customer service.
True.
You know who's not liking or commenting on my posts? Oliva.
Yep.
Gurkha. Right? My father. They don't care. They don't care. You know who is? El Mago. Apostate. Sinistro. Dude, I'm telling you.
Okay, so before we wrap up, I had a trivia night that I got to hang out with some of my elder pastors with, and it was space movies and 2000s songs for the main trivia night. Oh my gosh.
You had to have crushed that.
Dude, the songs, I could know who the artist is.
Yeah.
The lyric titles is what killed us in the pointage.
Oh, okay.
We killed
But
all
space
the
movies, you dude, had that is like I can't like, think of a of in of a of a more specific alleyway for you than space movies.
It was basically every single movie about like us going into space. So like Apollo 13,
right?
First Man, which is the Neil Armstrong movie, the recent one with Ryan Gosling in it. Some other stuff like Contact with like Jodie Foster in it. And then you had Star Wars, Star Trek, all the other kind of sci-fi movies. So it wasn't outside. It was just space was the category, but like the 2000 songs, dude, that sent me into like a complete vibe of middle school and high school that I was not ready for. And I'm like, whoa, this song is hitting me hard right
you
now.
You know, you started creating a playlist on the way home.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Anyway, but I did have a new remixed Foundation cigar. The Wise Man. It was not the Maduro. It was the Natural, which was once called El Jojense. And then they put their, they took El Jojense and they canceled that. And then they put it in a different factory. I think it's one of the My Father factories.
Nice.
It was really nice. And then I also had a Deseret by Apostate. Dude, you gotta have a twofer.
Dude. Oh, so good.
Really
so
enjoyed good. Those sticks. But anyway, I think we're going to go for that.
All right.
The time being.
I like that.
It's a little bit more social because
a little bit
more
social, less
social,
less official.
Less
you don't have to, you don't
ratings.
Have to, you know, Ed, you know, and Patrick don't have to skip, you know, they don't have to, you know, hurt their thumbs by tapping the 30 second ahead button. We don't want that. We don't want that. That'd be, oh, please. Jack. Why don't you get us out of here before I get this?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you want to follow us here on the Reformatory and all things local church and how to make the church central to your life as a believer, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. Yes, all of the sociable heads were at Trump's inauguration.
Dude, we'll talk, all
okay,
there.
Wait. We'll talk about that in the podluck.
Podluck inauguration thoughts.
Anyway. The metaverse, old Zuckerberg, old dude. That guy is trying to code switch on his hair and everything to try and be.
He's trying to become a bro. He's trying to become a bro.
Yeah,
is what he's trying to do. He's trying to be a bro.
He also owns the Instagram. Goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. Or you could go for Mr. Musk.
Yep.
Formerly of Twitter, now on X. You can follow us all there at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might follow us or support us in other ways.
Multiple ways to support us. We've got YouTube. If you want to watch this app as well as listen to it, head on over to YouTube, search for the Reformatory Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We would love that. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. That'd be really cool if you did that as well. We love seeing how people found the podcast or what they like about it. Link in the description of this episode. We've got shirts, merch, more designs on the way.
Yeah.
All right. We partnered with that small. He was at the inauguration also, Mr. Bezos.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I have so many. There's so I'm many sure memes. There's yeah, so many. Sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Where was I? Amazon. We've got shirts on Amazon. Good quality, low price, awesome designs. More on the way. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. You could join the Patreon. We just had somebody cancel their Patreon. It made me sad. So if you want to help us out and take the place of this fallen soldier, then we ask that you head over to Patreon. Support us with a $5 holla. That's all it takes. And you get bonus episodes. You get the Reformatory chat. You get exclusive sneak peeks to merch before they go public. All that good stuff. And if you do so, if you choose to support the Reformatory with your $5 a month, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We're going to go record some right now. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next ep of the Reformatory.